Vintage Sci-Fi Podcast. Welcome to Vintage Sci-Fi, the podcast that explores the early imaginings of science fiction through historical dialogues and narratives. In episode 2, we dive into an intriguing conversation from the 1832 publication Australia Advanced, or Dialogues for the Year 2032, by Mephistopheles the Younger. This dialogue offers a fascinating glimpse into the speculative vision of the future held by early Australians. The conversation between the Australian and the traveller touches on advanced urban planning, the transformation of the environment with imported flora, and the rapid population growth fueled by colonial expansion. They discuss the influence of print media with a variety of newspapers and periodicals, reflecting the colony's intellectual and cultural development. Most striking are the speculative reflections on Australia's potential global role, with references to technological advancements in transportation, communication, and governance. The characters speculate about the future dominance of New Holland in global affairs, and the potential for the colony to influence and reshape the ancient systems of Asia, showcasing early science fiction themes of future technologies and geopolitical shifts. Enjoy!
Dialogue 2, Scene, The Breakfast Parlour of Australia in Pelham Row. Materials for the morning meal on the table, and the necessary appendages for two persons. The morning papers are also on the table. Enter Traveller. Australian, good morning, sir, you are very punctual. Traveller, I always like to be so if possible. A. I hope our Australian air has given you an appetite this morning. T. It has, I assure you. I was stirring betimes, and have been quite round both the old and new domain. A. Indeed. You must have found it warm. T. Yes, it was, but there is no want of shade in the beautiful walks. A. Native, although I am, I must confess that the extinction of the indigenous timber and brushwood of this country, and supplanting it with the noble wood of the old country, is an immense improvement. T. It will make your winter appear British-like. A. Yes, but the gorgeous foliage which hangs over Port Jackson through the summer makes ample restitution for the sombre, dull green livery which our shores used eternally to wear in former days. T. What papers do you get? A. The Old Gazette, which is published daily. I likewise take in the Chronicle and the Australian Herald. T. Anything of importance in the Gazette this morning? A. Nothing particular. I observe their leader is on the population of this country, and the facts they adduce are well and ably stated. T. Is not the population of the colony increasing rapidly? A. Very. By the last census, taken in 2029, the population of the whole colony was estimated at nearly 330,000, showing an increase of 15% in 5 years. Of this number, Sydney alone claims as her share nearly one-fourth. T. Why, to look at the extent of ground which Sydney occupies, I would say that the population would be almost a third of the number you have just stated. A. I dare say you might, but you must bear in mind that the numerous streets about Cooper Street, where the large cloth manufactories are situated, such as Cleveland Row, Grose Place, Windsor Street, and many more, are all built in the detached style, and have each large plots of garden ground round the houses. T. There may be some truth in that. By the way, looking from the top of Queen Street, at the south end of the new domain, I observed some very beautiful villas. One in particular struck me as quite unique in the Persian terrace style, with four pines growing in front and a splendid orangery behind. A. That is Dr. Abels, the editor of The Pilot, one of our ablest daily papers. T. Of what strength is your newspaper press? A. Why, there is the Gazette, Australian Herald, Pilot, and the Morning Journal, all daily papers. There is the Observer, the Pacific, a neutral paper, and the Australian Mercury, which publish thrice a week. And there is the Weekly Monitor, the Sydney Journal, the Commercial Post, the Young Australian, a great radical, and the Advertiser, weekly papers. T, a tolerable batch. And how are you off for periodicals? A, I can't say so much for them. I may mention, however, the South Asian Monthly, the Tatler, the Journal of Science, the Botanic Magazine, and a kind of sporting magazine published every 2 months. Besides these, there are several religious magazines, such as the Church of England, the Presbyterian, the Baptist Magazine, the South Sea Record, and some others. T. Have you no provincial papers? A. Only 4. The Liverpool Times, the Parramatta Courant, the Windsor Telegraph, and the Newcastle Observer. T. Are the magazines all fair specimens of your desultory talent? A. But so-so. However, the Botanic and the Journal of Science are worthy of the able gentlemen who edit them. Talking of magazines, I picked up a bit of a curiosity in an old bookshop in York Street the other day. T. Indeed. Pray let me see it. I'm rather curious about old books. A. Here it is. An odd volume of a very old periodical called Blackwood's Magazine for 1835, long since gone to the tomb of all the Capulets. And, curious enough, there is a review of an atlas in this very volume, in which are some striking prophetic remarks on the land we live in, New Holland. The reviewer commences by stating a remark by Shenton, or Shenson. The book is so blurred with mildew I can scarcely make it out. But I suppose it is intended for Johnson, the author of a very old but excellent dictionary. T. And what was Shenton's remark? A. That he never looked over a map without a sensation of regret when he reflected that there was not a name written upon its surface that did not belong to a place where social, friendly, virtuous, or brilliant people were not to be found, and whose company, of course, he could not enjoy. T. It was a kindly, though a morbid and selfish feeling. A. He goes on to say that the impression which is left on a person on looking over an atlas is a disposition to speculate on the future state of the world, on the nations and empires yet to arise in quarters now barbarous and desert. T. Had Mr. Shenton lived in these days, he would have found no quarter for these titles. A. But hear the reviewer again. His remarks have all the spirit of prophecy in them. He must have been a thinking person. It is impossible, says he, to put it out of one's head, that New Holland, the country which latest of all has received the elements of civilization. T. That will not hold now, pardon the interruption, as Borneo, New Guinea, Papua, New Zealand, and the islands in the South Polar Seas are all thickly colonized since the writer's time. A. True. To finish his sentence, however, he says New Holland is certainly destined to play a great part in future ages, T. There is little doubt of that. A. The rest of his remarks have still more of the spirit of prophecy in them. The man ought to have been a prophet. T. And then he would not have had any honour in his own country. A. As it was, perhaps he would not. T. More than likely he would he laughed at for his visionary schemes. But let us have the rest. A. Reads. From the northern coast of New Holland to Canton, the distance is only half of that from England to New York. With the mean CF rapid communication, which every day is improving or bringing forward, it is not probable that two such mighty empires will be long without coming into contact. The intervening islands, Borneo and Sea, will soon submit before European skill, and it does not seem chimerical to look forward to New Holland as the power which is destined to upset the ancient systems of Asia. T. The British, as I informed you yesterday, are upsetting it as fast as possible, and Australia, at least, is lending a helping hand, with heart and goodwill. A. But here his peroration reads, as Egypt was long the great western barrier to knowledge, so is China the great eastern barrier. If any power were to upset the system that prevails in that country, a great benefit would be conferred on the human race. Perhaps we ourselves are destined to perform it. Perhaps it is reserved for the descendants of our Australasian progeny. If so, it will be a queer dispensation which permits the overthrow of the kingdom of foe. Oh, by the offspring of a colony intended to relieve the jails of London of their thieves and prostitutes. T. Propudor. What does he mean by that last sentence? A. I cannot fathom it at all. T. Oh, I think I recollect something of it now. Somewhere about the year 1910, an immense number of people were sent out here by government, who were convicted of being concerned in the great corn riots of that year. But I cannot make out what he means by thieves and prostitutes. A. The same writer seems to think that when that event, the overthrow of the Chinese Empire, is accomplished, the world will stand no chance of suffering another night of ignorance. T. No, as I do not know where savages are to come from. Even if there were, they would become civilized before they could cope with us. A. Thanks principally, I think, to gunpowder. T. No doubt of that. As Alexander the Great wept when there were no more worlds to conquer, the philanthropist may now weep because there are no more savages to civilize. What are you going to do with that pile of old books lying under the sideboard? A. I mean to send them to one of my sheep and cattle stations in the district of York for the use of the overseers. T. What distance may that be? A. Only 800 miles, NW of Sydney. A stagecoach runs to the small village of Oatlands, about 30 miles from my estate. T. The colony must be spreading rapidly in that direction. By the way, is the hunter still as famous for the good things which you used to write me of? A. Yes. It still bears the bell. Through the summer months, you may see the most enormous quantities of fruit, butter, eggs, and vegetables coming in by the steamers every Tuesday and Friday. T. How many steamers have you now in that part of the country? A. 4 boats, and all except one make the trip twice a week. T. Where is your fruit and vegetable market? I looked for it this morning in vain. A. It is exactly behind the esplanade, on the piece of ground which the old government house used to occupy. T. Talking of government house, who is your ruler now? A. Lord William Russell, a descendant of the famous reformer of that name who died about 2 centuries ago. T. I don't recollect whether I saw government house or not. A. I don't think you have. Government House stands on the face of the hill, overlooks Port Jackson, the Botanic Gardens, and the Old Domain. It is a plain but highly elegant structure, and is much admired by strangers for its chaste appearance and commanding situation. The principal entrance is opposite the gate of the Catholic Chapel, which stands, surrounded by fine oaks, at the north end of the New Domain, overlooking Woolloomooloo Bay. T. I remarked the grand entrance. It is finished with much taste. A. We Australians are very proud of it, I assure you. T. Another century will make this country one of the noblest dependencies of the British Empire. It is, after all, a matter of special wonder that so insignificant a speck as the British Isles are upon the globe should have spread their power over all the earth. I hope that power will always be exerted for good. A. The restless and persevering ambition of the mother country has now brought half the habitable globe under her especial dominion. T. It is a vaulting ambition, too, that seldom overleaps itself. A. The seldomer the better, for every hour there is more at stake. But we must not sit talking here all day. The morning is fast running away, and we must not let it give us the slip altogether. This kind of conversation beguiles the time insensibly. T, it does. Let us go. To be continued.
Don't forget to subscribe and add the Vintage Sci-Fi Podcast to your favorites. Thank you for listening.
Vintage Sci-Fi Podcast.